continuing our series in Romans. If you could turn, if you would please, to Romans chapter 10. We'll be starting in verse 14 today. Romans is about the righteousness of God, how we can be put in a right relationship with God. And that's what we need. And we have been through Jesus by faith, right? So let's turn there and let me ask for God's help before we look at his word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your grace, and we thank you that your word is true and that you've spoken it to us. We just thank you for not leaving us in the dark, not leaving us in silence, but speaking to us through your word and through your son. And thank you for revealing him to us in your word. And I pray that as we hear your word today, that you give us open ears, open eyes, open hearts. Help us to understand what you've said, to believe it, and to live in the light of it. And I just ask for your help, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So as I just mentioned, the theme of the book of Romans is that we are made right with God by faith and not by works. So let's talk about faith today. We're going to talk about faith. There's general agreement among most people that we know, I would think, that faith is a good thing. I was talking with somebody recently, and we were kind of having a mild disagreement about God, and he said to me, well, the important thing is to have faith. The important thing is to have faith. And so I think most people would agree that faith is a good thing. Now, Christians would say that faith is absolutely essential. It's what gives us access to God's salvation in Christ. But even people who aren't religious, people who don't go to church, people who practice other religions, often say that faith is good. But what do they mean when they say that faith is good? What do they mean that when they say faith is a good thing? A lot of times what people mean is it's just good to be optimistic, you know, have faith, to think, you know, things are going to get better. Everything is going to be all right. It's going to eventually get better than it is now. That's what they mean. Sometimes what they mean is we need to agree that God exists, okay? Faith is that there is a God out there. Or they have faith in humanity, you know, that in the goodness. I have faith. I have faith in the goodness of people, and people are eventually going to do the right thing. That's what people mean when they say it's good to have faith. Or they're saying, I believe in the possibility of miracles. There's something else out there. And things can happen. I believe that there's more to life than what we see. Okay, so they mean things like that. Now, when the Bible talks about faith, when God talks about faith in his word, he means something very specific, quite specific. So let's talk about what he's saying. Let's talk about what God says faith is. The text that we're going to look at is Romans 10, 14 to 21. And here's what I'm going to read this text, and here's what we're going to see. So hang on for this. This is so alliterative and beautiful. This happened to me by accident. I wasn't trying to do this, and it was alliterative. You're going to love this. We're going to talk about what precedes faith, what prevents faith, and what promotes faith. How about that? You know? Precedes, prevents, and promotes faith. Okay? So let me read the text and we'll go through that. Paul writes, how then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So, Faith comes through what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Yes, they did. Their voice has gone out to the whole earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses said, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that lacks understanding. And Isaiah says boldly, I was found by those who were not looking for me. I revealed myself to those who were not asking for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and defiant people. This is God's word. In this middle section of the book of Romans, chapters 9 through 11, Paul's discussing how it could be that Israel, the nation of Israel, his own people, Paul's a Jew, he's from the nation of Israel, how his own people, and by the way, Jesus is a Jew, Jesus' own people, why have they not received God's salvation? How could that be possible? That's what Paul's discussing. And why is it that they have not received God's salvation, while on the other hand, many Gentiles have received God's salvation? Paul writes that the Jews, as a whole, were pursuing their own righteousness, while many Gentiles received the righteousness of God by faith, by calling out to him. If you look at the verse right before the text that I just read, the last verse that we looked at last week, he quotes an Old Testament prophecy, an Old Testament scripture, and that says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So many Gentiles have called on the name of the Lord, called on the name of Jesus, and have been saved, while his own people, the Jewish people, many of them have not. As a whole, they have not. Most of them have not. Most of them have not called on the name of the Lord. And if it's so easy, if all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord, what's the hang-up? You know, what's the problem? Why aren't more Jews being saved? That's what he's discussing. So Paul talks about, in the section that we're going to look at today, Paul talks about the process of coming to faith. He talks about what must happen before somebody can believe, what leads up to faith, what precedes faith. And he asks this series of questions, and the questions start with faith, with calling out on the Lord, and kind of work backwards to show what it is that precedes faith. So if you look in verse 14, he says, how then can they call on them they have not believed in? So the expression of faith is calling out to God, calling on the name of the Lord. In verse 13, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In verse 9, Paul writes that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Right? It's a mouth thing. It's calling. That's how you express your faith. But before expressing faith, you have to have faith. You must believe in Jesus. And believing involves, it's a mental understanding. It's acknowledging that Jesus is our Savior, that he died for our sins and rose again. It's understanding that with your mind. But more than just believing that it's true, it's trusting in Jesus, relying on him. You know, all your chips are in on Jesus, you know. I'm all in on Jesus. I'm going to rely on him for my salvation and nothing else. I'm not going to rely on my own efforts, on my own performance. I confess that I used to rely on my own performance, and now I'm going to rely on Jesus' performance. If I'm going to be saved, he's going to have to carry me across the finish line. It all depends on him. So how can you call out on him if you haven't believed? And then the next question Paul asks is, how can they believe without hearing about him? So before you believe in Jesus, you have to hear about Jesus. You have to know about him. It's only logical, right? You can't trust in somebody that you don't know about. You have to hear about him. So when the Bible speaks of faith, it's not talking about faith in the abstract. It's not just talking about a general feeling that I'm hopeful. But it's faith with an object. I have faith in somebody. Like our brother Jeff said, you know, he had faith in the surgeon, you know. That's a specific object in his faith. When he went under that knife, he's like, I'm going to trust in this guy to get me through to the other side. So it's not just like a general feeling, I think everything is going to be all right, but I'm trusting in Jesus. Your faith has an object, and you have to know about him before you're going to trust in him. Your faith is based on knowledge. It's not blind faith. It's faith that's based on an understanding of the historical events of what God has done for us in Christ, that God sent his son Jesus into the world, that he died for our sins on the cross, and that he rose again. Okay, and then Paul asks the next question, how can they hear without a preacher? Okay, so for you to hear about him, somebody has to tell you. There has to be a preacher, and he has this quotation from Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So it's like in the ancient world, if you're in a country that's in war, and they're fighting a war on the border of your country, like there's an invading army coming to capture you, and then you're like in the interior of the country, scared that the invaders are gonna reach your town, and here comes a messenger, and the messenger says, "Good news. We've defeated the enemy. We've pushed them off. They've retreated. I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy. You know, I'm bringing you good news." That's so that somebody has to tell you the good news so that you can trust in it. Then when that person comes, you're like, "I was so glad he came. He's got such beautiful feet. You know, here he comes running in here. Those are some great feet. I love to see those feet running in here with the good news. I'm so happy." You know, he's got some nice boots. When he ran in here, that made me so happy. So then Paul asks the question, how can they preach unless they are sent? Now, what Paul is not talking about in the first place, he's not talking about how a mission agency sends a missionary out, or like, you know, we as a church, we send Aaron to Nigeria. That's not the kind of sent that he's talking about here, even though those are good things. We need to send missionaries out. It's not talking about money, that how can they go preach unless somebody funds their mission. That's not what he's talking about in the first place. What he's saying is, where did they get their message? These preachers got their message from God himself. God sent them out with the words that he wanted them to say. Jesus commissioned his apostles, his missionaries, to go out and send the word, to spread the word. That's what sent means here. Jesus has sent out his followers. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You are going out. He has sent us out. He's told us what to say. We are supposed to give testimony about Jesus, about what he's done for us. So that's what it means that the preacher needs to be sent. And so when you go out, when Jesus sends you out, and when you tell people in your life about Jesus, you can say, let me tell you about what Jesus has done for me. Let me tell you about how he saved me. Let me tell you how he died on the cross for my sins and rose again. When you do that, you have some really beautiful feet. They should love to see you coming. Okay, and then here's the point of this section. What precedes faith, what comes before faith, is a communication of the good news. It's a communication of the gospel of Jesus. That's what has to come first. And I told you last week, there's this kind of famous quotation attributed to Francis of Assisi. Probably wasn't him, but it says, "Preach the gospel. If necessary, use words." Now, what they're trying to say when people use this quotation is, your life should represent Jesus well. Your actions, your love, your service. And that's good. Our lives should represent Jesus. But to preach the gospel, it's absolutely necessary to use words. It's a message that is communicated. Okay, about what Jesus has done for us on the cross and in his resurrection, how our forgiveness comes through him. You have to, there's content to it. You have to communicate this message. That's what precedes faith. And then when people trust in that message, when they believe it, they're saved. So God, you know, like God could have gotten his work done a lot of ways, right? God's pretty good at getting stuff done. You know how he like made the universe in 6 days? You know, like he breathed out the stars. He spoke the universe into existence. He's able to get things done. He's like, oh, I think we need another star there. Let me create it. Oh, look, the earth needs to be the right distance from the sun so that there can be life on it. Let me make that happen. Done. You know, like God is able to handle stuff. But somehow, to bring the salvation to the human race, what he's decided to do is to let people like us proclaim the good news to our friends. He's chosen you to proclaim his good news. That's what precedes faith, is a communication of the good news, and he's chosen us to do it. Communicate the good news, and then when people believe in it, they're saved. An eternal spiritual salvation happens. That's the means that God uses, you and me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that humbling to think about, that this is how God gets his work done, is through people like us, okay? So that's what precedes faith. In verses 14 and 15, we talked about what precedes faith. Now, starting in verse 16, Paul writes about why most of the Jews in his day, why most of Israel had not believed, why they did not receive this good news. So he's talking about what prevents faith, okay? So if you look at verse 16, he says, not all believed the gospel. Not all, well, interesting, he doesn't say believed. I stumbled over it. What he says is, not all obeyed the gospel. We'll get back to that word, obeyed. But not everybody received this good news in faith. Not all obeyed it. Not all submitted to it. Not everybody has faith, okay? Not everybody came to faith. And then he has this quotation from Isaiah. This is a prophet who's proclaiming the word of God. And he says, who's believed our message? Lord, who's believed our message? So there's a pattern. It happened in ancient times. It's happening in Paul's day, that not everybody has believed. And so the question is, why not? Why haven't they believed? And so somebody might say, and when Paul says, but I ask, did they not hear? What he's saying is, some of you might think the reason they didn't believe is because they didn't hear the message. Maybe that's the hang up. Maybe that's why Israel hasn't come to faith yet. They didn't hear. It requires communication. Maybe they didn't hear it. But he's like, yes, they did hear. and he has this quotation. This is a quotation from a psalm. And it says, their voice has gone out to the whole earth and their words to the end of the world. The psalm is describing like the sun and moon and stars and how they shine on the whole world and they declare God's glory to the whole world. Now, in Paul's day, the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, had not reached the end of the earth yet. He still wants to go to Spain and proclaim the good news in Spain. He wants to go to Rome and proclaim the good news there. You know, he wants to reach the end of the inhabited earth, and it hasn't happened yet. But it started, and it started in the nation of Israel. Jesus came to Israel. Everybody in Israel had heard of Jesus, you know. He was crucified on a public road that people walked by. And when he rose from the dead, he appeared to thousands of people at one time. You know, people knew about him. When the apostles first preached the good news of Jesus on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a sermon in Jerusalem when the whole nation was gathered there for a religious festival. And so many people, thousands and thousands of people heard this news. 3,000 believed on one day. And then a few days later, there were thousands more that believed on another occasion when Peter gave another message. So everybody had the opportunity to hear. It wasn't that they didn't hear. There's another problem. There's something else that's going on. The problem is not that they hadn't heard. So in verse 19, he says, Paul writes, but I ask, did Israel not understand? So this is, he's sort of like, he's putting words in his reader's mouth. He knows what they're thinking. Well, maybe they didn't hear. No, actually they did hear. Well, maybe they didn't understand when the word went out to them. Maybe they didn't get it. Okay? And then so then Paul answers that objection with a couple of quotations. First from Moses, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that lacks understanding. So he's using this ancient prophecy from the law of Moses, and he's saying, this applies to us, Gentiles, people who are not God's chosen people, have believed the message. People who lacked understanding have believed in Jesus, while the Jewish people, the people who should have understanding, haven't believed. So the problem is not understanding. People who don't have understanding have come to faith. Okay, and then he quotes Isaiah, I was found by those who were not looking for me. I revealed myself to those who were not asking for me. Even the Gentiles have come to faith, and those people who thought of themselves as seeking God did not. So there's a problem that's deeper than their lack of understanding. It's not that the gospel is too complicated for them to get it. And we, before I move on, I should just add, when we talk about Jesus to other people, we don't need to make it overly complicated. It's a real simple message. The gospel is clear. The gospel is simple. It's something a child could understand. Jesus says, let the little children come to me. It's very, you can present it clearly and plainly. I mean, I'm not saying it's not deep, because it's deep. There are a lot of implications. We're never going to be able to fully wrap our heads about it, around it. But the idea that we have sinned against God and deserve to die, but Jesus died in our place and we are forgiven for our sins just by trusting in him, it's not too complicated. A child can understand that. I think Billy Graham was so good at this, right? He made his proclamation of the good news clear and simple. He said, God loves you just as you are. Jesus died for your sins just as you are. So now come to faith in him just as I am, without one plea. I want to believe. You know, he made it so simple and clear. And I think that's part of the reason so many people came to faith, is because it wasn't overly complicated. It was just real. You know, it was just true. He presented the truth of it. Okay, so the problem for Israel is not that they didn't hear. The problem is not that they didn't understand. There's something else going on, and that is described in verse 21. It says, but to Israel he says, and this is quoting Isaiah again, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and defiant people. So God is saying, through the prophet, he's saying, I'm presenting my good news to them. I'm reaching out to them in love. I'm trying to offer forgiveness. I'm trying to bring them to myself. I'm holding out my hands. My arms are open wide to my chosen people, to Israel. But their issue is that they are disobedient and defiant. And this is described in John chapter 1. You know, Jesus came into his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus came to the people of Israel, but for the most part, the people of Israel said, I don't accept that you're my Messiah. I don't believe in you. I don't trust in you. You're not really God's son. And they rejected him, even though he loved them the way he loved them, even though he did miracles among them. He healed people. He walked on water. He fed them food. He cast out demons. Even though he revealed himself to them, they rejected him. Even though he died on the cross where they could all see and then presented himself alive to them 3 days later, they rejected him. So the issue is that they're disobedient and defiant. And that goes back to what it says in verse 16, not all obeyed the gospel. Not all obeyed. So when people don't believe, this a lot of times is the issue. The issue is pride. That we don't want to think of ourselves as people who tried our best and didn't make it. You know, we don't want to think of ourselves as unworthy of God's salvation and we have to receive it by faith, by grace. We don't want to think of ourselves that way. We're all unworthy, right? But we don't like to admit it. And you have to admit that to receive the good news. You have to admit, I couldn't accomplish my own salvation. My performance is not good enough. My efforts weren't good enough. I have to rely on Jesus instead of me. His perfection, his love. It's unwillingness to admit our sinfulness, unwillingness to give up, unwillingness to turn to God, to submit to Jesus as Lord. Okay? That's what the hang-up is a lot of time. And Paul is saying that's what the hang-up is for Israel as a whole. However, Jesus' words, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So that's the other side. If we're willing just to give it up and to trust in him, to fall into his arms, we'll find our life. We'll find eternal life in him. So we've talked about what precedes faith. It's a communication of the gospel. We've talked about what prevents faith. Sometimes it could be lack of hearing. We need to send the missionaries out. Sometimes it can be lack of understanding. We need to make the good news simple and clear. But a lot of times that what prevents faith is pride. Okay. So now let's talk about what promotes faith. And I want to just talk to the people who are here today who are exploring Christianity, or maybe somebody told you, hey, it's good to go to church, but you haven't yet called out to Jesus. You haven't called the name of the Lord. You haven't trusted in Jesus yet. And if you haven't believed in him yet, I want to ask you just to think about this. Well, you know, why is it that you haven't believed yet? Is it that you still need to hear the good news? I've been trying to tell it to you today. I've been trying to tell you over and over. If you need to hear more, I want to encourage you to read the Gospels. Pick a gospel. Read the Gospel of Matthew this week, or read the Gospel of John this week. Pick one of these books of the Bible that tells about the life of Jesus and read it. Or find somebody that you can ask. You can ask somebody here, help me to hear the good news. I want to hear the good news, and we'll tell you. If the issue is that you've heard it, but you don't understand it yet, I want to encourage you just to ask questions. Find your Bible study leader, or find somebody in our fellowship. Ask me, ask somebody in this room, to what your question is, so you can get some answers. I'm pretty sure that the question that you have about faith in Jesus, you're not the first one to have that question. I'm not saying it's not a legit question, but you're probably not the first one to have it. There are answers out there, and we want to provide those answers and let you consider them so that you can understand. We want you to grow in understanding. And you can ask God for understanding. God wants to help you understand. So ask him for it. Pray for understanding, and he'll give it to you. But for a lot of folks, the issue is that it's difficult to submit to Jesus, you know? It's difficult to obey the gospel. So think about could it be that what's holding you back is just an unwillingness to give up on trying yourself to achieve salvation? Because that's what the world says to you. You do your best. Try your hardest. And we have this mindset. We need to keep trying. We need to do our best. And if I can be pretty good, then I'm okay. I think there's an unwillingness a lot of times to give up on that idea and to say, you know, actually, I'm not good enough and I need Jesus. So I want to encourage you, if that's the issue, give it up, you know. Call out to Jesus. And when you do, you'll find yourself safe with him. And now I want to turn and talk to those who have believed in Jesus already, we who want to promote faith in other people. We want other people to believe. So how can we do that? What is it that we can do to promote faith? I want you to notice Paul's heart for Israel. He's explaining that Israel hasn't come to faith yet, but we read this last week. He says, my heart breaks for these people, you know. I cry for these people. I long for them to come to know Jesus. Paul loves these people. He's heartbroken for the lost. And we need to also be heartbroken for the lost. And we can ask the Lord to put a burden on our hearts that people would come to faith in him. And God has sent us out. God's given us a message to proclaim to our friends and family. And here's something I want to encourage you to do. Try to practice proclaiming this message just on your own, by yourself. Write down a 30-second gospel presentation. You know, practice, rehearse it, or just say it out loud to your bathroom mirror. Say it to your dog or your cat. You know, proclaim the gospel to the animals in your house. Rehearse it so that when you have the opportunity to proclaim the good news, you're ready to say it, you know. God's given you a message, and I think sometimes we get tongue-tied. That's okay. Be real, be authentic, just say what's on your heart. But sometimes it helps to rehearse it, to rehearse the good news. So take some time this week, maybe before Thanksgiving, because it might come up over Thanksgiving, right? And talk about what Jesus means to you. Just practice saying it. And then let's pray for opportunities to share his good news. Let's pray for boldness. Let's pray for the right tone that our, like Paul writes in another place, that our words would be seasoned with salt, that they would have the right flavor. You want your turkey to have the right flavor, right? And you want your words to have the right flavor when you share about Jesus with other people. You don't want it to be bitter. You don't want it to be too salty, just salty enough, you know, to have the right flavor, that it be seasoned so that it's received as a beautiful message. And then when the chance comes up, speak it. Speak the word. And then you leave the response to the people. You can't force anybody to come to faith. I can't force you to come to faith. You can't force anybody else. You leave it in God's hands. Put it in God's hands and pray that God would work in their hearts. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this good news that we read today. And I pray that you, if there are any here that have not yet trusted in your Son, I pray that you draw them to faith right now, that they would believe. And for those of us who have believed, I do pray that you would give us opportunities to share this good news, boldness, clarity. Help us to be people who communicate the good news of Jesus with those around us, with our lives, but especially with our words. Help us to do that. And we ask for your help, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing the last hymn.